So when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time complaining to a God that I didn't even believe in. And I still do the same thing, enjoyable activity. And my main complaint was, God, what the hell? Because you can speak to God like that when he doesn't exist. Why don't I have a father? And of course, I knew I had a father because I was in a body with two sets of genes, you know, mother and father. But I didn't have a father with me, just a mother, a divorced mother. And you got to remember, for all you young people out there, this was the 50s. And the 50s was the era of the nuclear family. And everybody had a father. I was the only kid in my elementary school, small California town, that didn't have a father. And I felt like something was missing from my life. It was a lot like, even though I'm a vegetarian now, you go through your life eating meat and potatoes, and you know you can stay alive on that. That's what having a mother is like. But then all these other kids, they had a father. They had the dessert. They had the ice cream. They had somebody to hunt and fish with, teach them how to, you know, repair stuff, which I still can't do or shit because I, you know, never had a mother that could work on cars. So all that was missing. It was painful. It was a lot more painful because there wasn't two mommies and two daddies and one mommy and one daddy sort of stuff like we have now where it's all cool. It was, you know, there was a mother that stayed at home. There's a father that worked. So my mother would send me off to YMCA camp to get a little male bonding experience and whatnot. And I remember once all the kids were sitting around in the cabin, and the topic was, what do your fathers do? And for that, for me, it was just a moment of absolute panic, because you're going around caught by caught by caught. All the fathers are this. He's a plumber. He's a butcher. He's a candlestick maker, whatever. I had no idea what I was going to say. I didn't have a father. I was a loser. I was a nothing. And then at the end of that experience, or before they came to me, my best friend, Ken Hart, God bless him, he died of cancer prematurely. He made a joke. Somehow he kind of distracted everything. The thing went past me. But it's moments like that, you know, they were very, very painful. Now, my mother had to explain, why don't I have a father? So she had talking points, you know, a little more persuasive than, or, you know, now these days, Benghazi, it's a bad word. But they were talking points. What happened to my father? Well, why isn't he around? Well, because he doesn't want to compete for your affection. And, well, why doesn't he have any contact with me? Well, because he doesn't, why were you divorced? That's why he's not having any contact with me. He doesn't want to compete for your affection. He did a pretty damn good job, because all I would get was every year to say, here's a Christmas card from your father, and there would be a pre-printed Hallmark Christmas card with one word on it, John. Not your father, John, not dad, but just John, $25 check. That was it. And so why did they get divorced? Well, the storyline on that was that I was born in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, the site of a big General Electric plant. My father was working for General Electric. My mother got pregnant again a little bit later. He was an ex-Marine, you know, 1948 I was born. He comes back from the war. She gets pregnant again, has a child, Evie, with a congenital heart defect, and the doctor said Evie needs to go to a drier, warmer climate for her heart. And my father says, no, I'm not leaving. I got a job. You know, I got a good, nice job. So my mother packs up, goes to Texas to live with my grandmother, and divorced the good-for-nothing who wouldn't move to save his daughter's life. And he also never paid his $50 child support that he was to pay for me, but he gave me $25 once a year for a while. So that was the story of my father, you know. And she said, well, he was tall, okay, yeah, he's intelligent, he was charming, he was a good writer. And I gathered he was an asshole because he didn't want to save his child's life. So I have no contact with him. I just have this dream of this ice cream cone that is missing from my life that everybody else has, but it's gone. You know, you go to college, you go to school, you come to Salem, you get your job with state government, you got your house on Hillview Drive, a view of the lights of Fred Meyer, everything's good. And then in my 30s, there's a phone rings, and I pick it up one night, and it goes, hello, this is John, your father. And I go, okay, this is interesting, 32 years older or so. It's my father. And he starts talking about himself. I made little notes, all my notes for my father filled up a little bit of a first one page of a yellow sheet. And he tells me, you know, what he'd done, and he says, I'm getting in contact with you because I've ignored you and your half-brother. I'm going to give you each 2,000 shares of a company in stock of a company I founded, Systems and Computer Technology Corporation, because I ignored you more than my other kids. I said, well, great. You know, that's a step up from $25 in a Christmas card. High-tech company in the 80s, that's nothing to sneeze at. But it's also not an ice cream cone paternal, you know, relationship. And then he tells me the story of his life, because he didn't know much about his own life. And so he was adopted. I didn't even know this, that Hines, my name, that wasn't really my name. That wasn't his name. He was adopted by the Hineses. His parents came from, they were Polish-speaking Germans, which I was somehow really grateful they weren't German-speaking Poles for some reason. That's just a bias, but, you know. Named Mueller, and they come in the early part of this century to work on the railroad, and his mother gets pregnant, and she goes to the hospital, and she dies in childbirth, having him. And his father takes off. The authorities go and try to find him. They find him, they bring him back, and he takes off again. So, you know, it looked like abandonment is kind of a genetic thing. Maybe this is a research deal. So he gets adopted by the Hineses, and that's the thing. So we have this relationship. I think, well, he's interesting. He talks about lying by himself. I'm egotistical too. I guess we that in common, like father, like son. It turns out that I had just become a PhD dropout in systems science. And he's telling me they founded a company called Systems and Pure Technology Corporation. It's like, oh, that's kind of weird. It's got systems in there. We're both, you know, guys, systems thinkers. And so I'm going to a seminar at MIT, I tell him, and systems dynamics, computer modeling, Apple II Plus computer or some bullshit like that that never worked. But he is in a hospital. He's calling because he's got emphysema. He knows he's sick. He's dying, or he thinks he might die. And he's going to go to a hospital in Boston and be treated. And he's going to stay in a hotel. And at the same time, I'm at the seminar. So why don't you come by and see me? All right. First time I see my father, you know. So I get to have 1 hour with my father in my life. A lot of people never see a father at all, zero. Many people have many experiences. I get to have 1 hour with my father. Go down the corridor, knock on the door, it opens. There's my half-brother, Mike, because my father's too chicken to see me by himself. I shake hands with a father I've never met, the ice cream cone that I've never got to lick my entire life. And then as we sit down on the bed, it turns out like the heat lamp comes on, the ice cream cone melts, and I just begin to see this is not going to be a Hallmark moment. This is not going to be in Parade magazine. This is going to be shit. And it was, because what's on the bed is a bunch of General Electric manuals. And I spend that hour sitting next to him, thumbing through page after page of General Electric manuals, while he regales me with stories of how he was a kick-ass efficiency expert, went into these places. You know, he should have worked for Mitt Romney now. He died before his times, you know, firing and hiring people and whatnot. And that's what I do for an hour. And now I have a memory of like 30 seconds of that entire hour, because I kind of blacked out everything after that first 30 seconds. When I realized that 1 hour with my father, I'm still emotional, wanted to see more than anything in my life, is going to be spent thumbing through General Electric manuals. So I remember then shaking his hand, shutting the hotel room door, hearing the click, and going, thank fucking God, I'm out of there. I will never see him again. I will never hear his voice, and I never talk to him again, which I never did. And yet afterwards, you know, there was a certain gratitude. And now I've gotten into this weird habit of talking to myself like my mother did. We all become like our parents to some extent. And I go on dog walks with my dog, and I will say things like this. Thank you, Dad. You were the best father that I could have, ever have, because you were the only father that I did have. And you did exactly what you felt you needed to do, just like at every moment all of us are only doing what we needed to do. And then later, as I read science books and think about this more, I think I never needed to get to know you. Not really, because my entire life I have been you, and I haven't realized that until recently, until I met him and could separate out a little bit the part that is my mother and the part that is him, and saw that this part, the asshole part, the kick-ass part, as in the introduction, the part that leads me to just, you know, rip the city council and the mayor and the city manager up to one side and down the other, the intelligent part, the driving part, you know, that is him. And that is me, and I've always been him. I just didn't know it. But it was walking away from him that gave me the freedom to say, it's kind of like having the alien in you, and you're afraid it's going to come out, and that I'm going to be him. And if I had grown up with him, I would have been him. But instead, hopefully, I'm just him, the good parts of him, and the asshole part is at least kept moderately down. So thank you for listening.